kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Come to set captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, 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 yes, before him. Oh, 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 oh. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
I said, who can? Come on, church. Come on, who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop the Lord?
Sing the bridge again. You get ready. Let's sing. Who can stop? Here we go. Here we go. Ready? Come on, sing it out.
Lord Almighty.
Come on, church. I said, who could stop? Come on. Come on, begin to declare that this morning. I said, who can't stop him?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Sing it again. Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
One more time. Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is alive.
some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Amen. And blameless life was given a sacrifice. Oh, see him there, he's all in the name of love, broken yet glorious, all for the sake of.
Yeah.
Sickness you have, we know that God can heal every single sickness. Amen?
Amen.
There's not one thing. If Jesus can forgive your sins, that's what was paid for on the cross, then he'll also heal every single sickness and disease. So no matter what it is, if you're sick today, we'd like you to start coming over to this side. Come down that aisle. The ushers will direct you. And we want to pray for you. We know that God is the healer. Amen? And while we're ministering to the Lord through song and worship, we're going to continue to pray for people. So if you're sick in your body, if you'll just come right down in this aisle, we want to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus.
We know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So I just want to read a couple scriptures to you today. And that is and they disappeared from me. That he heals every one of our sicknesses and every one of our diseases. He not only takes care of our sins, but he also takes care of every one of our sickness and disease. His word says that there was none sick among the multitudes of people, and that none of these diseases shall befall your household. So today, we believe that the cross was not only for your sins, but just as much as we receive it for our sins, we receive what Jesus did on the cross for every sickness, every pain, and every disease, that he will heal everyone in this place. He is no respecter of persons. He will heal everyone in this place today.
So if you need healing, make sure you're on this line. Let's continue to worship. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord.
Thunder hides. I cannot run this heart I'm tethered to. With every step I collide with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing into me, being here. Your
the only thing I found is through it all, you never let me down. You don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. And every turn I come face to face with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing into me, me here. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, rushing into the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
Before I call, before I ever cry. You answer me from where the thunder hides. I can't outrun this heart I'm tethered to. With every step I collide with you. Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere.
Your love is fierce.
You cannot fail. The only thing I've found is through it all, you never let me down. You don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. With every turn, I come face to face with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
You surround me. You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. Could I be lost when you have called me found?
Yeah.
You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you
sing
have
it again?
Called me found?
You chase me,
you chase me down, you seek me out.
You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me down?
Like a hurricane wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce,
like a hurricane that I can't.
Sing it again.
Your love is fierce,
like a tidal wave crashing over me,
rushing in to meet me.
Yes.
Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere.
Your love.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he does. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Ooh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Forever your kingdom reigns. Ooh,
like that. Come on, sing our God. Let all the earth rejoice.
Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Let's sing it again, the splendor. The splendor of the King.
Come on.
Clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with
me. Come on and sing it.
Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Oh, Father, Spirit, Son. He's the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our
Of acclamation and take me. me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great.
We're going to sing that verse again, and when we come to that part where we shout acclamation, I want you to give God glory. Amen.
Then Christ shall come.
Come on.
With shouts of
come on, church. Yes, amen. He is worthy.
And take me.
Come on, what joy.
What joy shall fill my heart.
Yes, hallelujah.
Then I shall bow in heart. And there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Come on now, let it ring out this morning.
And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great.
Worship went a long time. If you were sick, you would be okay with it. Amen. Isn't it good to know that Jesus not only saves you from your sin, but heals you in body, soul, and spirit? Shout it out loud with me this morning. Shout, I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive it, and God will heal you right where you are. You don't even need to come up front. The healing power of Jesus is right in this room right now, and he loves you. And he loves healing his children. Amen? I said amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome four or five folks. Now listen, don't go sit down. Go shake some hands this morning. Be a little social and say, you look beautiful.
Come on.
everybody say at least hi to somebody. Turn around to somebody behind you and say, well, good morning. Come on, turn around. Turn around to somebody behind you and say, good morning.
Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my comfort.
Men, one of the greatest things you can have is food and fellowship and Bible learning. So we want to let you know that Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. John's Mission Center, you'll be having men's ministry every single week. Join us. It's one of the best nights you'll ever have.
Hey, HT, guess what? We got our annual Harvest Festival coming up. It's October 31st. We're coming right here at your local church from 6 to 8 p.m. Guess what else we're doing? Trunk or treat! That's where we're putting candy in the trunks, and we're treating these kids. Bring your friends, bring yourselves, bring your kids, of course. We're gonna have lots of fun for our annual Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. Make sure you're here.
Pastor has impacted me. I was struggling in my life, and it was really hard for me to try to connect myself where I was in my walk. I just felt dry and dead. And I came to him one day and asked him, I said, Pastor, I need your help. I said, I don't know what to do next, what my next step is. He invested in me, and we started doing devotions every day, and he's really invested in me a lot. He had faith in me, and he's spoken to me. Been a constant thing. It's always encouraging me and building me up. My life has changed so much. It's just incredible. My family life has just blown up. It's just amazing. Can't do nothing but thank him for everything he's done and who he has. And Christ for leading him to me. And me leading me to him.
Praise the Lord. Hey, you know, I don't know if how many of you realize it, but we're having an ordination service right after this service. So we have some folks that are being licensed. Minister Palko is going to become Pastor Palko. Glory to God. That's really exciting. And we also have Brenda Ostrander will become a minister. And she's been doing ministry in the church for so many years, but she'll be actually receiving the title as minister. And Pastor Jade and Pastor Chad finished their degree out in Africa, and they'll be licensed ministers this morning. And then Pastor Cody is gone. What happens is you get minister, then you get licensed, then you got to wait 2 years to prove your ministry, and then you become ordained. So Pastor Cody will be ordained this morning as well. So we're going to be doing that right after this service. So if you'd like to stay for that, we'd love to have you. My wife, Pastor Rhonda, why don't you welcome all the guests?
If you're a guest in the house with us today, welcome. We are so glad you're here with us. We pray that the power of God just was able to meet you and that you're healed in every portion of your being today. So if it's your first time in the house, if you would raise your hand, we have a gift we would like to give you and a connection card to get us connected. Awesome. We have guests all over the place. This is wonderful. Actually, all over on this side. Those are out right here in the back. Thank you. Those are our regular, lovely young people in the back there. We love you. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming. If you're watching via live stream, we know that the power of God, we send right now the word of God to heal you no matter where you are in the world. God's healing power, everyone that came to him, he healed of all of their diseases. So everyone today that comes to Jesus is healed. So even watching via live stream, we welcome you. We're so glad you're here. And we know that God will heal you right across that, whatever it is you're watching on. And we thank him for that. We thank you for watching and joining in with us. So today, as we receive our tithes and offerings, I want to read a scripture to you. And it's Psalms 35:27, and it says, the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So why do we tithe? We tithe, first of all, because God tells us to. But when we tithe, we walk in financial blessing and prosperity. And that's what brings Father God pleasure. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. So when we're walking in obedience and tithing and prosperous, that makes Father God happy. So today, we're going to enter into our tithes, and we are going to bring pleasure to our Father in our prosperity. So if you'll stand to your feet.
You know what I heard this week, Pastor Rhonda, is that tithing is not giving, it's returning.
And that is such an awesome statement, because everything is the Lord's. That's the word of God. And he asks us to give and back 10% of what's already his. He gives you 90% of it. You just return simply the 10%. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and make our supernatural declaration. It's from Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat it, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Since I laid my burden down, oh glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, oh, actors don't treat me like they used to. Since I laid my burden down, my friends don't treat me like they used to. Since I laid my burden down. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I said, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, shine, shine. Let it shine. Oh, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I said, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I said, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Hallelujah. What an awesome day. How many of you love today? You know, you can like yesterday, but you only have today. Aren't you excited you've got today? We've got a word from God for you that will challenge your spirit. I've just stirred up in my heart of what God is going to do. This has been the year of kingdom seed, learning how the seed of God always works. And if you have a need, you've got a, if you have a need, you've got a seed. Learning the principles of seed time and harvest that it will always happen until Christ returns. We live in the principles of seed. Everything we have, everything we do is seed. How you plant your time will determine the harvest you get. How you plant your words, how you plant your thoughts, how you simply plant your ground. What kind of ground are you? Everything that we are is about seed. And the challenge with the body of Christ is we love living principles, but many times not God's principles. So if we're going to live in God's kingdom, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we learn that God has called us not to live in the world system, but in God's system, when we start living in the system of the king, then we live in the realm of blessing and not cursing. So the Lord is calling you and I to learn the principle of seed time and harvest. But more than just getting the harvest, but living in abundance. You see, the Lord desires that you live an abundant life, not a surviving life, not just barely getting by life, but God wants you to have an abundant life in your spirit, your soul, and your body. And the way we do that is by living kingdom principles, not the world's principles. Today, I want to talk to you the difference between facts and truth. So many of us live according to facts, and we don't live according to truth. And the Lord is calling the believers, shout, I'm a believer. That wasn't too convincing. Shout, I'm a believer. If you're a believer, then we're called to believe the Constitution. The Constitution is the Word of God, and God's Word is above all facts. But yet many times, as believers, we stop believing God's Word because the facts don't match up with what we want to see from the Scripture. But the Lord declares that once we start believing, we cannot deter, we cannot lean upon the arms of the flesh. But we've got to be people that are going to stand firm in His Word and let the truth make you free. There are times we want the truth real quick because we are that, you know, the McDonald's and Burger King people. But the truth is this, truth always supersedes facts. The verse for the year is Psalms 1, chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Say this with me now, whose leaf also shall not wither. I got you to talk King James Version, didn't I? It felt good, didn't it? The Bible here is very clear, and that means this, that there is an opportunity for your leaf to wither. Your leaf to wither. There is an opportunity for your leaf to wither, which means this. It means that hard times come, dry times come. The issue is not that the trial and tribulation is not going to come your way. The issue is, what are you going to do when it gets there? The issue with so many believers is we do not live a believer's life. We live a life that is in this world. Thank God we're born again. Can I hear an amen? I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, but you see, it's not just about going to heaven. It's about you and I living in the kingdom. You see, we are not of this world. We are foreigners here, which simply means this. Yes, we live in a real world with real facts, but yet the awesome part about the kingdom is that God, by his power, bends facts by truth. When you understand how God can bend facts by truth, then you'll recognize that you are not hindered and halted and harnessed by the realities that you deal with on this planet, but that God, by his supernatural power, can take a fact and change it in a millisecond. Where everybody else has given up, God will bring an answer because God is supernatural, and he's called his church to live in the supernatural. Can I hear an amen this morning? The Bible makes a declaration in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. He says this, then Jesus said, everybody shout, Jesus said. Jesus said. Oh, say it again, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. I love that portion. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately puts the sickle in the ground because the harvest has come. The issue is not the seed. It's what activates the seed. Seed is something that we place every single day into the ground. But the issue is the seed that we do plant in the ground, what activates that seed to bring forth the harvest. And today I want you to realize it very quickly, that faith activates the seeds of the kingdom. Faith is the key to where seeds will be activated to bring what you're believing for. We must be people of faith. The Bible declares that we should walk by faith and not by sight. But yet so many of us walk by sight and not by faith. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, now faith is, shout is, not was, not hope to be. Now faith is the assurance. That means you have no question. That means you've come to a conclusion. And that is, it doesn't matter what happens to my right. It doesn't happen what happens to my left. I know this one thing, that if God said it, it is yea and amen. He holds his word even above his name. I will not be moved because the word of God is truth. And I choose to live by truth instead of facts. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things we hope for, divinely guaranteed. Whenever you and I are guaranteed something, it just solidifies something in our hearts. The challenge that the church world is struggling with is that we are people of weak faith. What do you mean, Pastor, weak faith? I mean, God says he's given every man a measure of faith. We know that Jesus said to some, oh, great is your faith. We know he said to others that what did he say to the disciples? He said, oh, thank you so much from the background. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of great. I love you too, man. Oh, ye of great faith. But the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. So we know that faith can be measured. We know that faith can be increased. We know that every man's been given a measure of faith. So the issue is not that seed isn't real. The issue is not that God's reality of divine opportunity is not available for you. But what happens is we live so much by the natural, by what we can see, by what we can touch. We live so much in the realities of life and the facts that are before us, and we abandon the truth because the truth does not seem to be available to touch physically, but God is calling us to be people of faith. Faith is calling those things which are not as though they already are. That means before you can actually see it, touch it tangibly, put your hands on it, it's already yours. Most believers don't live in faith, they live in doubt, which says this, I'll believe it when I see it. God is not moved by believing when you see it. God demands by his word, by principle of the kingdom, that faith is the answer that sets us free. I want to remind you that when people were coming to Christ during the time that he was on earth, he would always look at them and say, listen, so be it as unto your faith. So the devil is not after your health. The devil is not after your wealth. The devil is not after your mental well-being. The devil is after your faith. Because God knows, and he applied it to the principles of truth, that if faith is the activator of the seed, yet you have no faith but doubt, then you can only lean upon the realities and the facts that are in front of you. And if you can only rely upon what the facts in front of you, then you are actually a prisoner of the reality that you're standing in. What I love so much about God is he's never called us to be in bondage. He's called us to be free and free indeed. And freedom comes as we have faith in the Constitution, as we have faith in the Word of God, as we allow truth to supersede our facts. Yet many choose not to do that because it takes effort to feed your faith. Many believers don't go to church consistently, and the reason is they think that, well, you know, I'm just busy, or I'm running a race today. Someone told me they were running the race today, and I wanted to say, break a leg. Because what it showed was they have more faith, or their life is more involved with the reality than in the truth and the supernatural. If this is real, if God's kingdom is real, then how foolish are we to feed our doubts and feed our facts and feed the realities and love this world rather than love God more? The sad part is that many believers love the world more than they love God. If they can find something else to do on a Sunday morning, something else to do when rock solid faith is available, they'll find it. Why? Well, because they're busy. I want you to recognize this. You might be sitting back and thinking, I'm just busy. But I want you to know there's a diabolical plot behind this. And that is to keep you from faith, to keep you from growing, to keep you from putting your trust in God, keeping you from being a man and a woman that when God says it, it is yea and amen, and you will not be moved. Because if the devil can get you to that position where your faith is weak, when your trial comes in your life, you have no foundation. You see, most of us will never have our faith tempted or tried until hell starts shaking our house. In fact, you really don't know what you believe in solidity until the trouble comes. And many of us, because we're so distracted by this world that we do not put a firm foundation under us, we do not consistently build our faith, we are not a consistency in the Word, what happens is when hell starts licking our toes, we realize we built our house on sand instead of the rock. You don't have time when the storm comes to build a new foundation. You don't have time to go back and say, boy, I should have structured it this way. The fact is once the storm has hit, the reality of what you've built your spiritual life upon is truly the fact. And the fact is, if you've built it upon the world and the world's principles, when the winds come, when the storms brew, that house will be battered and the sand underneath will crumble the house that you're sitting in. And God has never called us to be ones that will crumble. He's called us to be successful. But he cannot make us be successful. He said the only way is to build your house on the rock. Who's the rock? Christ is the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus? Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. God sent Jesus to declare his words. So when the church sits back and we live more by sight than we do by faith, then when everything starts to shake around us, we fall. Now listen, honestly, I'm not even kidding you. We could have filled this house three times with the amount of people that have been saved and walked away. That's no joke. People even that were solid, I'm talking like they loved God. But when a reality came into their life, they had not laid the right foundation. They had not built their faith. So what occurred was, when that trial came in their life, they walked away from the Lord. I'm here to tell you, the devil says, the Bible declares that the devil in the last days, the sin of the world is going to increase and the love of many will wax cold. The Bible says that even in the end days, the elect shall be deceived. The only way for deception not to come to your house, the only way for your house to remain standing in the middle of the fire and the storm is that you have the foundation and that you believe the truth is above your facts. Because when God's word, God's kingdom is above your realities, then nothing is impossible for you. You see, facts are undeniable realities. But truth trumps facts. Because God's word is above the natural world. Truth trumps facts. 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 I don't know if you're hearing me. I said truth trumps facts. Truth trumps facts. Are you out there this morning? I said truth trumps facts. The truth of the word is above every fact that this world's world system would ever give you. It's time to recognize that your foundation is upon truth and not upon your facts. That's why so many walk by sight and not by faith. They walk by the fact and not by the truth. Some it's sheer ignorance. And then some it's sheer ignorance. The difficulty with the issue is that if the devil can steal your faith, he has your soul. So in reality, this is not about you and I playing tennis or you and I, well, you know, I think I'm going to join that church. You can't join this church because we don't have membership. Do you want to know why we don't have membership? Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you go from the fact of being lost to the truth of being found. You go from being an outcast to being a household, a person of the household of the kingdom of God. You go from death, you go to life. Everything changes. The truth now supersedes the reality of where you were damned and now you're saved. Once you were lost, but now you're found. You see, when you do that, everything changes in your life. There's no need to join a church because you're part of the family of God. So many of our lives are just governed by facts. Do you know you probably made decisions this week in your life because of the facts that sat in front of you? The problem is you never confronted the Word of God to find out what God's Word said about it. So what happened was now you're on the path of living the world system. Now you're on the path of obeying what the world declares and dictates to you. When God's truth is completely opposite, God's truth is liberty. God's truth is peace. God's truth is sanctity. God's truth is purity. God's truth is freedom in the Holy Ghost. God's truth is more powerful than the facts, but we've got to make a choice to determine where we are going to put our faith. You sat in chairs when you came to church today, and I doubt any of you sat down and went, boy, I hope this holds me. Nope, you just had the faith to believe that when you sat in that reality that you were safe. But yet we don't trust God in that level. And it's because our faith level is low. Because we're not feeding our faith. We feed our doubts. We feed our realities. We feed our facts. We believe what people tell us, but yet we do not confirm it with the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, it's time to be believers that in the last days, God is raising up a remnant of people that are going to be people that will believe God above all that the world will have to offer. And they'll declare that I stand for truth no matter what the persecution, no matter what people say about me. I will not be moved because God's truth always bends facts. No, I need to say that again. God's truth bends facts. So you have a fact. Whether it be in your health, your wealth, or your family, you have a fact. And you look at that fact and you're saying, boy, you know, that's kind of intimidating. That's a large situation. That's a large problem. And you stare at that long enough and all of a sudden you start putting more faith. You start acting and reacting according to that fact. You start building your life around that fact. Well, God's word is completely opposite. And we can't understand why we're not living successful Christian lives that other people want to follow us. There's a need for the believers to believe. And we've got to believe the truth. Because it's the truth that makes us free, not the fact. So we put more faith in the fact rather than the truth. Then we are governed by everything that surrounds us. We're on the roller coaster ride with Jesus. We have no solidity. We have no firmness in our walk because we're always being shuffled about, putting out fires everywhere in our lives rather than learning how to live in the midst of the truth that no matter what weapon formed against us, we'll not prosper because God is on my side. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There is not one weapon formed against me that shall prosper. It does not matter what happens. It does not matter what they say. The word is above the fact. Jesus is the Word. The Word is the words of God, the Creator. The words of the Creator above the facts of the fallen creation. Therefore, the Word of God is far above the facts of the natural world we live in and walk with it. So we put more faith in this world system. You know, people have said to me, well, Pastor, you know, the economy's struggling. I can see we're going to have a problem. Really? Why would you allow yourself to enter into that proclamation of seed. Someone said to me, well, you know, everybody in my family died in their 50s. I'm probably going to die too. And I said, yep, you will. Well, that's not nice, Pastor. Oh, what do you mean? I'm just agreeing with your seed. I'm agreeing with your faith level. The devil desires your faith. And the more you're in the Word, the more you're in the house, the more you're in the teaching, the more you're in the development, the more your faith automatically rises. It's the plan of God. Pastor, you know, that's a nice sermon. But how does that really apply to me? You know, I want to be practical about this whole thing. I want you to see how the truth bends the realities. I want you to see how when God supernaturally, through his word, his faith is released, it can literally take the natural things, even foolish little things that wouldn't matter to anybody else, and God can get in there and change the fact by the truth. You see, in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 5 through 7, it talks about a young man who went out chopping some wood. But it happened that as one was cutting down a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, oh no, my master, it was borrowed. The man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron axe head to float. This wouldn't seem like anything to anybody else. Dude, I borrowed an axe and the axe head fell in the water. And the man of God said, watch this. I'm going to make truth supersede fact. I'm going to change the reality through the power of the word. I'm going to change the reality of that sunken axe head to something that's going to float. I'm going to change the very constitution of how God created so that God's proof, God's love, God's manifestation can be evident in your life. God changed the facts that a head of an axe cannot float and made it float. In the same chapter, verse 15 through 17, the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, and behold, there was an army with horses and chariots encircling the city. Elisha's servant said to him, oh, master, what are we going to do? Elisha said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So here's the prophet of God, man. His servant steps outside in Dothan. He walks out and he looks upon the city and he sees the mountains. They're covered with the Assyrian army. They've come to kill him. That's a fact. And when you only look at facts, then that's all you're ever going to see. Faith gives you a different set of glasses. It allows you to see what others cannot see. It allows you to declare what others cannot even declare. It allows you to live in a peace that makes no sense to anybody else. Remember Joshua? Joshua chapter 6? I'll come back to this portion. I haven't abandoned it. All of a sudden, Joshua chapter 6, God said to Joshua, see, I've already given you the city. But the walls were still standing. It was an impenetrable process. They were mocking the children of Israel. But God said days before it ever fell, see, I've already given it. You see, God sees differently than we see. You and I see our facts as debilitating. God sees facts as something to annihilate. God loves bending that fact to show himself as God. God loves taking our faith and activating it to where we're in the middle of a trouble that seems like there is no answer. But then all of a sudden, God performs the supernatural and truth bends facts. So here he is. Gehazi's looking up and saying, look, we're going to die today. That's facts. But the prophet of God said, nah, don't worry about it, man. There's more for us than against us. What do you mean? I can't see it. I can't touch it, Elisha. I can't understand it, Elisha. I can only see the facts that are in front of me. But Elisha saw something that was beyond the facts. He saw the truth. And the Bible says that he prayed for Gehazi, that his eyes would be opened. And when his eyes were opened, the Bible declares that he could see the armies of the Lord far outnumbered the Syrian army, and that there was no way that they would ever be crushed or dismayed. There was no way they would ever be decimated. Why? Because if God is on your side, it don't matter what's coming your way. If you activate faith, then facts always have to crumble. How about in Acts chapter 3 with the man at the gate beautiful? Facts. He was born with lameness in his body to where there was no way that he could be a normal human being. In those days, they would dress him in what's called a beggar's robe. The fact was that when everybody looked at him, they saw him as a beggar because he was dressed as a beggar. He was carried to the gate beautiful, sat down, and here the man begged for his sustenance. Here the man had to beg for a living. He could not be normal. That's the facts. But you see, something came into his life. Someone came into his life. It was the disciples, and all of a sudden they declared this: silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee in the name of... In the name of, in the name of, rise and walk. And all of a sudden, the reality was destroyed by the truth. Because Jesus said, when the power of God is released in his name, healing is then released. And that man got up. He started bouncing around and brought great testimony to the kingdom of God. His reality was changed by the truth. How about in Acts chapter 20? A lot like this sermon here. Paul preached long. Thank you, man. We just blame Isaiah. Paul preached long, man. He's preaching the gospel, right? He's preaching the word of the Lord, and he's going on. He's got that eternal gospel happening. And there's a boy that's sitting over on a windowsill. And the boy is just sitting there listening to Paul. But all of a sudden, as Paul goes on and on and on and on, he starts getting tired. You know how your head starts to bob? Well, one time it didn't come back up. And the Bible said that he was fast asleep. The dude, like, he just was gone, man. It was about midnight at night. He had listened to Paul all evening, and he was just so tired, he fell asleep. And the Bible said when he fell asleep, as he's sitting on the stoop, he fell over backwards out three stories. And when he hit the ground, he was dead. You want to talk about ruining a meeting? That's the way to ruin a meeting. But Paul said that is a fact. The boy did fall out the window three stories. The boy is dead, but watch this. He said, bring him to me. And so what did Paul do? He didn't focus on the facts. He focused on the truth. What was the truth? That's all right. His life is still in him because he knew this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though man dies, yet shall he live. The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 10, when you cast out devils, they got to go. When you heal the sick, they got to be healed. And when you raise the dead, they've got to come from the eternity to come back in their body. It's time for the church to again be a believer. That young boy, he took an eye-opening, and he became alive. Why? Because Paul chose not to live within the fact, but he chose to live within the truth. Where do you choose to live in your life? How about Jesus? Crucified, beaten to being unrecognizable. His back, they say you could see his bowels from the exterior. The beard had been completely ripped out of his face. Fist pounded into his face. They put spikes through his hands. Finally, he died. He gave up the ghost. It is finished. But the devil thought the facts were it was finished. I killed the Messiah. But you see, you cannot trust the facts because the facts, they're not always the truth. Because because the truth was not dead. He was in the grave, and for 3 days he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The 3 days Jesus was down there, set captivity to the captive, and on the third day the truth rose from the dead. We trust our facts way too much, and we trust the truth way too little. You see, today, we have choices to make. Some of you are facing impossible situations. That's a fact. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's the truth. The doctors gave you a negative report. Fact. But by his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. I'm not healed today. I was healed then. And by receiving salvation is as simple as receiving your miracle. It's the reality of accepting truth above your fact. Pastor, I'm financially destitute. I'm struggling. Fact. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. When you're a tither, when you're a seeder, there's nothing that God won't do for you because you've entered his economy. You have success because God is on your side. It don't matter what the facts say. It matters what the truth says, because the truth will make you free, not the facts. You see, when we understand this, it changes how we live. And this is why, again, I'm just going to be blunt. I'm not good at that, but I'm going to try today. You keep skipping church, man. You think it's just skipping church. You don't get it, man. You don't get it. It's not about skipping church. It's about you not getting fed that week to where you're going to have your faith fed, so when trouble and facts come, you have nothing to fight with. And it declares that you love the world more than you love God. There's a big thing online. You don't have to go to church to be saved. And that's exactly true. You do not need to go to church to be born again. But you do need to go to church to be equipped for the work of the ministry, brought to unity and brought to maturity. It's in this place that faith is preached from the pulpit. It's in this place that God feeds the souls. It's in this place that you equip. It's in this place that you mature. It's in this place. This is God's design, not man's design. And the devil so earnestly works for you to be so overwhelmed by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. He so desperately desires for that you will abandon truth to live in fact. And until you make a decision, I refuse to be controlled by facts. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. You'll always be on that roller coaster ride with Jesus, and you're not going to have a great trip. Today, this is your choice. I'm one of those kind of preachers that honestly, I'm just going to tell you the truth because I got to stand in judgment for you, and I choose not to stand in judgment for you. When I stand before the Lord, he's going to go, "Did you tell him?" Yeah. Did they like you? No. But did you tell them? Yeah. Go after them. It's their issue now. I refuse to make it my issue because I know that in these last days, God is raising up a group of people that are so filled with the Holy Ghost, so faith-filled that it does not matter what weapon is formed against them. They'll stand firm. They'll put their shoulders back. They'll lean forward, and the devil will not be able to move them when everything clears out. When the dust clears, after I've done all I can do to stand therefore. I'm not standing in my might. I'm not standing in my power, but I'm standing in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm standing in the Word of God, the truth that makes men free, and I know that God is on my side because I'm living the principles of the kingdom, not living by the facts of this world. There's a big change there. That's a difference. And your seeds proclaim it. Not disrespecting anybody, because you need to know multiple people said this morning. I was waiting for this because I needed this for the sermon. What do you need? And someone would say, well, I've got I've got this disease, or I've got that disease, I've got this sickness. And I had them say out loud, I no longer have this sickness. I no longer have this disease. I no longer have that in my body. Why? Because the moment you take it as possession, you now get a harvest from it. Not denying the fact that the doctor gave you a report, not denying the fact that you have an issue, but the fact is bent by the truth, and the truth is that by his stripes I was healed by the power of God's name. In the name of Jesus, every devil's got to come out. In the name of Jesus, every sickness has got to come out. In the name of Jesus, there is nothing that I cannot accomplish. I've got the supernatural power of God that bends truth. Do you bend reality in fact, or do you just sit back and accept it all has come down the track? That's your question. Because watch, now when push comes to shove, you can't use mine. You got to use yours. My kids can't use my faith. They got to use their own faith. Well, you know, I've got this excuse and that excuse. Then go to hell with that excuse. Let me guarantee when you get to hell, you won't be able to use it well. Stop using your excuses. They'll own you. Live truth and you'll be free. Can I hear an amen? And all the religious said, oh my. I love identifying the religious. It makes it fun. Just like in that first verse, I want to remind you what it said. And I'll end with this. I could preach another hour. Here it says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. You see, when that fact comes into your life, you might not know how God's going to pull it off. But when you put your faith in God, when you put your faith in the truth, when you put your faith in Jesus, you might not be able to see it happening. It might be under the ground. Just like when Jesus was dead for 3 days, he wasn't dead for 3 days. He was working for 3 days. Just like in your situation, if you identify the fact, then you got to live in your fact. But if you identify the truth, God will be working where you cannot see him working. And all of a sudden, man, there's a resurrection happening in your situation. Ah, my God is good. There's a resurrection that will happen in your life. And God will change your fact by bending it with the truth of God. God's word is above every single fact. I just feel it. Jesus, move by your power in this place, God. Change our lives, Jesus. It only takes you a second to change a fact by your truth. So you got a question. Do you live by facts or do you live by truth? Some of you are so fresh in the gospel, you don't know the truth. But you're so lazy, you don't want to stay in the truth. And then we got older saints. You know the truth, but you're too rebellious to stay in the truth. And we've got to come to a place in the name of Jesus that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And if I'm going to change, I can't change my way. I got to get into the Word of God. I got to start living kingdom principles. I've got to start living seed time and harvest. I've got to start declaring those things which are not as though they already are. I walk by faith and not by sight. And when we live that way, let me tell you something. I'm not saying trouble's not coming, but when trouble comes, you can trouble the trouble rather than the trouble troubling you. Because you've got yourself truth to work with rather than you always having to accept the facts. I don't know. A lot of times you really don't know. And you know, this is truth. A lot of times you don't know what you have inside of you until the devil starts licking your toes. But I just want to give you encouragement. Fix it quick. Don't wait till hell licks. Fix your faith. Get your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The Bible makes that declaration, hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Don't hunger and thirst after this world. Those facts are going to come and they're going to go. No, I won't do that. You must be people of faith. A lot of people putting faith in this next election. I want you to know something very clearly. That God puts men in and God takes them out. And that the ultimate will of God is going to come to fruition, whether you like it or not. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, if you think this world is going to be pretty, you're delusional. And this is why if your faith is weak, you'll be part of them rather than part of him. I better stop. Bow your heads with me this morning. I don't come to you with fact. I come to you with truth. The truth is that Jesus came to set you free. The truth is that this is not about membership or joining a religion or a church. This is about knowing God. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loving you as his own child and giving you everything that you need to be successful, not only in heaven, but here. And that if God the King, our Heavenly Father, so desperately loves us, there's nothing that he won't change to minister to you. God will bend the facts with what? With truth. If you believe. And that's the key. Where does your faith lie? Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is about you knowing God. It's about you receiving the truth, putting your faith in the truth. You've heard enough right now by the preaching of the word that your faith level is high enough to be born again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's awesome. He's the truth. If you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend. Is there anyone here? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, young lady. Very good. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Thank you, two young men right there. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else this morning? You can put your hands right back down. Is there anybody else on this side? Come on. Is there anybody else that wants Jesus? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand in the pink. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. I'm not even going to count, so you better get it up quick. Amen. Could I have the prayer team come to the front of the altar? Move quickly, prayer team. Thank you. Some of you are going through hard trials, man, and all you can see is facts. God today wants to show you truth, and he's going to put somebody in your life, one of these prayer ministries right here, the people that pray in faith. They'll call down that mountain with you. They'll look at your Jericho and laugh at it with you, and they'll declare that God is able to do all things abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Amen. Today, if you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Let's all stand this morning. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. And what do I mean by that? The Bible says if you confess God before man, Jesus said, I'll confess you before my Father. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, raise your hand. A bunch of folks, raise your hand. I want you to meet me right up here, right now. Grab the person next to you. Say, I need you to go with me. I need you to go with me. Come on, drag that person if you want. Come on, give them a hand clap. They're changing. Their fact is changing. Their reality is changing. They're now going to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Everything is changing in their life. This is supernatural. We see bending happening right here. Bending happening right here. This is so powerful. If we could just meet me right over here. I know there are more. Where are they? Amen. I want to pray with you real quick. Is that all right? And then I'm going to have Minister Randall. Where's Minister Randall? Right next to me. There he is. Come with your reality over here. Look at all these people come. Come on, don't let heaven outshout you. The Bible says when one comes back to God, all of heaven breaks into a party. I'm so proud of all of you. Jesus is going to change your life. You'll never be the same from this day forward. Amen. I want you to pray right out loud with me. So this is between you and God. Pray right out loud. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you're changing my fact. I was lost, but today I'm found. Wash my sins away. Make me a new person. I confess that I need you. I surrender my life to you. And today, I receive the truth. I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Yahoo! Here's Minister Randall. I want you to follow him, please. Follow him right over here. He wants to pray with you a little bit more. Make sure you get Bibles. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer because you're going through a struggle, I want you to come right out of your chair. Find someone to pray with. We love you. We're going to be starting the ordination service in about 20 minutes. So make sure that you find prayer. Love God with all of your heart. Lead someone to Jesus today. Let them know that God, the truth, will make them free.
Will I walk by faith each day? By faith to live. By faith.